Good morning, everyone. My name is Jan. I am alcoholic. Very grateful to be here this morning. This has been my home group for about 2 years, and this is where my sobriety really kicked off and went to the next level. My sobriety date is September 9th, 2009, and I found out about AA earlier that same year. I came to the How place. This was the first place where I attended a meeting. At the time, I was pretty ill, and I could not get up in the morning, so the first meeting I came to was a night owls meeting here. And I had trouble finding the place, as many people do, and I was late to the meeting. I got a packet from the folks that were there, and they gave me some numbers, and I promptly took it back and showed it to my wife, and I said, look, I went to an AA meeting. The reason I say that is because she's pretty much the reason why I came to AA. She gave me an ultimatum. Do something about your drinking, or I'm going to take the kids and go. And for me, at the time, I thought, that's a really great idea, because then I can drink some more and I won't have to deal with any of your crap and your nagging anymore. The idea of not being, or the idea of being separated from my children, though, that stung a little bit. And I thought I needed to do something, at least to maybe prevent that from happening. The night owls worked for a bit. I went to meetings, and then there was a small separation between my wife and I actually ended up in McDonough, Stockbridge. A client of mine who I did work for many years, he was interested in keeping me close, because his business depended on a lot of what I did for his networking systems. And so I basically stayed with him for a bit, went to meetings in McDonough. There was a noon meeting there, and at the time I was still drinking and going to meetings at the same time. I could not wrap my mind on the idea that I had to completely abstain from alcohol. And that's just the way I operated. I usually took some sort of a drink in the morning, and then at various times throughout the day. They accepted me there. They let me attend the meetings regardless of how I was, and that's the same thing that happens here at the How place. Eventually, I came back up to this part of town, and I was attending brown bag meetings, brown baggers. They were my first home group, actually. And I used that meeting because it was a way for me to get out of the house, and I was usually up and conscious at that time. And I spent a lot of time in those meetings listening to Charlie and Danny and Eddie Lee, and they would sit after the meeting and talk with me about whatever, really. I had these grand plans of having goats so I didn't have to mow my lawn anymore, and converting my mower to a natural gas combustion engine, and it was a good time, I guess. But I slowly began to listen and realize that my ideas were not the best. And if I became willing to listen to other suggestions and completely abstain from alcohol, that I would get new ideas, and that's basically what happened. I'm the type of alcoholic that would drive all around the Southeast for business and drink every time I did, all the time, basically. And I'm also the type of alcoholic that would be in the delivery room bathroom puking my guts out as my son is being born. The nurse is knocking on the door and says, you know, you might want to come out now. He's coming out. And once I realized what I had going on there through doing inventory, I got an idea of the progressiveness of the disease. 20 months earlier or so, when my daughter was being born, I was in there with a camera and I was all excited and I was watching the whole thing occur. I realized, though, that when that event occurred, there was kind of a split where part of me understood that now there's an entity in this world that I would do anything for and that I loved no matter what. However, another part of me said, oh, my seed has been planted and it's actually come to fruit, and I don't need to, I can do whatever I want, basically. I could die at that point in time. Like, my life was complete. And so it was a struggle to me, because one side was saying, oh, I need to provide and be there for this person, and the other one was, well, your job is done and you can check out completely at this point in time. Luckily, I realize that's not the case today. There is much more for me that I can do, as long as I'm still breathing and sober. I can enjoy my daughter's presence and grow with her. One thing I learned here is that I am powerful over my actions and my attitude and my awareness. When I was drinking, I was not aware, and I did not care about my actions, and my attitude was abysmal. Basically, I was a walking zombie, a very grouchy, angry individual, bitter at life. When I'm fully present with my children, they actually show me how to be fully present, because I will be sitting, working, doing something, and the former me would just kind of push them away and be like, no, I'm busy right now, I can't look at you or talk to you. Well, they show me love. They come up to me and they say, hey, Dad, can I have a hug, or I love you. And the former drinking individual, myself, would be, no, not right now, and push that away. Well, you all taught me that that's an opportunity, basically, to practice these principles. Being present with them when they walk up to me changes everything. They grow from the experience, as do I. This is a very unnatural thing for me to do right now, and I really appreciate you all allowing me to do this. Public speaking terrifies me, and I really found a voice in AA. coming to meetings and sharing, reading literature in meetings, really brought me out and able to speak with a group of people. Otherwise, it just wouldn't happen. I used to have to drink in order to do things like this, period. I don't think I would be with my wife right now if I didn't drink. So there are a lot of reasons why I'm grateful that I'm an alcoholic, because alcohol was my solution to feelings of inadequacy and feelings of terror, really, at the world. And it did stop working for me. I was very ill when I came here, as I've described in service work, I guess I could talk a bit about that. The Breakfast Club, when I went to my first group conscience, they were doing their elections for the coming year, and I was involved at that point in time. I was listening and paying attention. It seemed that there was an opportunity there to be intergroup rep, and the person prior had described the duties, and he was someone that I listened to and respected because he seemed to say things that I enjoyed listening to in meetings. Solutions oriented. Somehow I became the intergroup rep for the Breakfast Club, and the requirements for me to do that seemed like things that I could do. I could drive, I could listen, and I could write a simple report of what occurred at the central office meeting, which was the first Sunday of the month at the NABA clubhouse. The difficult part for me was then bringing that information back to the group conscience and giving the oral report. Which I did most of the time, I guess 80% of the time. That was good enough. At least it seemed that way to me. And it kept me connected pretty much immediately with the home group and with the larger picture of AA in Atlanta that helped me to understand that there are 450 plus groups in Atlanta. Only about 70 to 80 of those groups are represented every Sunday at the NABA clubhouse. I enjoyed it very much, as I apparently enjoy being connected to individuals or groups of people, really. I've been isolated much in my life, and at the point that I arrived at Alcoholics Anonymous, I was basically hiding out in my house, afraid to be involved in the community. Something that I've learned in AA is as I become involved in the community, my higher power places opportunities in my life And those opportunities helped me grow as an individual, basically give me a reason to live before I ran out of reasons to live previously. This thing for me has been about consistency, continually going to meetings and going to meetings, the same meetings. Also, coming to meetings that no matter where I go, I travel a bit in my work, and it's given me the opportunity to see AA in places like Florida and Oregon, and we are everywhere. I try to communicate to someone whenever I attend an AA meeting, because what I've understood is that by myself I have very little connectivity to my higher power. But as soon as I interact with another individual, especially a larger group of individuals, then I make a connection to a power greater than myself. I recently moved to Douglasville, Georgia. It's been an interesting experience. It's an adventure, really, I guess. Sometimes I think that it's God doing for me what I could not do for myself. The house I had here in Marietta, I had for about, I had lived in it for 15 years, and I owned it myself for about 7 years. And in the period of 2008 to 2010 were very difficult for me financially. I was a part of the mortgage banking industry, and that collapsed, as many of us know, in 2008 sometime. Well, I was let go from my position at that time, and I kind of floundered around burning through my 401k and running up my credit cards and basically attempting to survive. And part of the wreckage of that is terrible credit and foreclosure on my home that finally occurred in December of last year. I thought I was going to hold on to it for as long as I could, and the tighter my claws got into it, the harder it became. Part of the reason why I like that place is because I moved all my life, about every 2 years. My father's an aerospace engineer, and his contracts would expire or he would get tired of doing that particular work, and so we would pick up and move. And when I got to that particular property and that particular neighborhood, I thought, oh, this is what I want, and I don't want to go anywhere else. I'll probably die in this place. That might have happened if I had done the things required to stay there. I could not do those things. Another thing I realized in my relationship with my wife that I had no clue about prior to getting sober is that she didn't particularly enjoy that house. It wasn't her place. So I learned here in AA that I could listen to my wife. The greatest gift that I have to give to anyone, really, is my full attention. And I learned that here. So when I start paying attention to the things that she's telling me and correlating that with the things that you all are telling me, I feel less pain when I do those things. Another major reason why I drank is because I didn't want to feel pain. I didn't really want to feel anything. As I stopped drinking, I got the rush of emotions into my life. November 2009, I found a meditation group that met in Kennesaw and sat with them for every Thursday night for 2 years. In that group, it wasn't necessarily AA. However, it was a book study, and we were reading a book by Kevin Griffin called One Breath at a Time. In that book, he describes, it's like a 12 and 12, really. He goes through each one of the steps, and he just talks about the steps from a different perspective. And he ties in meditation and mindfulness into the 12 and 12, really. So we would sit as a group for about 20 minutes in the beginning of that meeting. And when I say sit, we sat on cushions and basically took a mindfulness posture. Then after that, we would read around the room, just like a big book study, with that text, and discuss thoughts and ideas that came to us as we read, and relayed our experience. That group collapsed a little bit ago. I have found others though, and they are AA groups. The Douglasville group, where I attend meetings now, they have a meditation meeting on Thursdays as well. It's wild meeting. It's not like a mindfulness silent meditation meeting. They actually have a reading that they do, and it really takes you into like a hypnotic state. And I'm kind of struggling with it a little, because it seems like AA hypnosis to me when I go to this meeting, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. If anything at all, I've realized in AA is that my old ideas that I thought were so strong, and beliefs that were unchangeable, really, I was broken enough and torn up enough that I became willing to open my mind to other thoughts and other ideas and other beliefs. This is a spiritual program. I was raised Catholic, and I, for reasons I have some resentments towards that church, and mainly because I just don't understand how, like, when a guy comes and says, hey, we're not the center of the universe, and we're actually revolving around other items, and they squash that knowledge, I had an issue with that. I felt that, hey, if they had accepted those scientific facts then where would we be today? I've learned that doesn't matter anymore to me personally, because I'm here right now in this timeline, and as I said before, the greatest gift I can give is my full attention. One of the things I realize is that occurs because all the power that I have to make any change is occurring right here and right now. Life is happening in the here and the now. It's pretty cool because the now contains the here, and the here contains the now. And there are times when I forget that, and it doesn't go so well. However, I usually wake up to the fact that I've forgotten. One of the big reasons that occurs is because I start feeling pain, or I get uncomfortable with myself. It's interesting how things occur. When I got to Douglasville, I basically went directly to meetings there. My service period as intergroup rep here is basically ended, and it correlated with the same time frame. So as I went to meetings there, I knew that that service work that I did, that really is what kept me tied into AA and kind of enhanced my sobriety during that period of time. I immediately asked if there were service positions available there, and I joined the Douglasville group as a home group, mainly because it's close to me. It's like a mile and a half away from my house. And they were kind of excited about that prospect. They asked if I would do it, and I said sure, because I wasn't really enjoying the idea of having a complete change of everything all at once, and this seemed to be a way for me to maintain some familiarity in my new surroundings. So I became intergroup rep for the Douglasville group as well. My new place is a lot closer to work. I just had a year anniversary this week at my current position, and that probably wouldn't happen at all without you all here at the Breakfast Club. Somehow, when I had this idea when I was going to the Brown Baggers that if I could get to the 8 o'clock meeting, then my life would be better. I thought at the time that a lot of the issues that I was having relating to the rest of the world is I wanted to get up at noon. The rest of the world wanted to get up a bit earlier to function. So far, that seems to be the truth. It was a gradual process for me. So, like I said, when I came here, it was a 10 o'clock meeting, and that was it. Then there was like an 8 o'clock meeting, and then there was a 6 o'clock meeting, and little by little, I got myself closer and closer and closer to getting up in the morning. The 10:30 meeting was another very good meeting for me. There was a man that usually was there. His name was Sims, and he would come in, an old guy, and he was a very gentle and loving person, and he would say, get a cup of coffee and sit down. And so I did that. It was a small meeting, so everyone basically shared. It went around the room, and someone had to say something. When I come to the Breakfast Club and I felt like my voice wasn't heard, I would stay for the 10:30, and then my voice would be heard. Or I would share all the wisdom that I gained in the 8 o'clock meeting with the 10:30 meeting. I mean, really. So I learned to share in AA, really. I didn't share my life with anyone. I've been married to my wife for 10 years, and it's through working this program that I understand enough about my own inventory that I can share it with someone else. Opening up and sharing my thoughts and ideas, I was always afraid to do that, as I suffer from maybe some self-esteem issues. I don't think I'm good enough to be up here right now and talk to you all. When I came in, I knew that you all had all the answers and you knew what was going on, and I don't have that feeling going on inside me. Through listening, really through listening, I understand that you all don't always have all the answers. I've heard the best thing I've heard is when talking about old timers and people who know what's going on, is that we take turns, and that really makes sense to me, because I am not always on a beam and a line and going the correct direction for, I guess I have bad days is what I'm trying to say. And when I'm having those bad days, there are many of you out here who aren't having a bad day, and you carry me on to basically through that fact that I can't, or I'm having an issue, so you carry me on and show me that it can't all be that bad. Gratitude is a major deal in AA. When I got here, I wasn't grateful at all for anything, and you showed me that there was a lot to be grateful for. I really don't have a lot to say, other than I'm very grateful to be here. I'm very grateful to be sober. Without all of you, I would not exist in the capacity that I exist today. I love all of you, and you all taught me how to love. I had very little love, except for my daughter and my son, really. Those are the only things that I could love, and there's some biological entanglement that really prevents me from not loving them. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. I love you all, and I'm grateful to be here and grateful to be sober. Thank you.